Where do the Brandenburg concertos fit within the musical world of Bach?
Well, they're probably his most famous works. The story is that, you know, he put together a set of six concertos, all for different scorings, in fact, unique scorings. There aren't any other pieces with these scorings, for the Margrave of Brandenburg, dedicated it to him, wrote out a beautiful calligraphic score, and dedicated it to him. Why? We don't really know why. He did have dealings with the Margrave, who's a minor member of the nobility, you know, lived near Berlin. We know that he acted as an agent, bought a harpsichord, you know, had it delivered to the Margrave, a beautiful new harpsichord. There was some talk before that Bach was writing music, going to write music for him, and that's perhaps what became the Brandenburgs. But we don't really know if Bach was trying to get a job or just money. We also don't know exactly when these pieces were written, because there is the score of 1721, but it seems that these pieces, not all of them were new. We have early versions of a few pieces, and stylistically, some people claim, well, these are, you know, some of these pieces could have been as much as 10 years old by that time. So he may have just opened his drawer, rummaged around, you know, for some old pieces, or maybe composed a new movement here or there, one or two new concertos, stuck it together and say, here's the set. And it would have been a very impressive set. But as far as we know, the Margrave of Brandenburg never did anything with these pieces. You know, the score just sat in his shelf. We don't know if he copied performing parts and performed it. So these famous pieces may end up, you know, being just kind of stillborn in a sense. Bach made use of them later on. They appear in some of his cantatas, movements, selected movements. You know, he was a great recycler. But these pieces, not only is the score, are the scorings unique, but it's really a unique approach to the concerto. You know, here's Bach basically taking the concerto and exploring all the possibilities of the genre as it existed in the early 18th century. Typically, you have a concerto in three movements with one, maybe two soloists. Usually they're violins or oboes or maybe flutes occasionally. And they're usually pretty compact pieces. You know, the whole three-movement cycle might take 10, 12 minutes, often less, you know. And so Bach comes along and the pieces are, you know, up to half an hour long. They're scored for unusual combinations. Number four, two recorders, solo violin and strings. Number five, flute, violin, and harpsichord. And this qualifies the piece as, you know, the earliest concerto that has a solo keyboard in it. Number three is for, you know, nine string instruments. Number six has no violins at all. It's violas and viola da gamba. So, you know, it's very, very strange. Number two has the unusual, maybe even unlikely combination of recorder, oboe, violin, and trumpet, instruments that don't normally go together. So, you know, it's clear that he's pushing the envelope. Whether he's writing for specific combinations of players that he had, or he's just writing this on spec, we can't really tell.
Why are the Brandenburg concertos so significant or so popular?
Well, I guess a cynic would say they're popular because they're so well known. You know, they're famous pieces, and so they must be great. But, you know, if you like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, you know, everyone knows that piece and a lot of people are tired of it. But when you actually sit down and listen to it very carefully, you realize, wow, that's why this piece is so famous. It's actually great. And all of these concertos by Bach are too. I think that's why it's useful, though, to present these concertos in some kind of musical context, because then you realize that Bach was doing great things, but he didn't invent the wheel exactly. You know, he may have made it turn more easily, but and been faster, but, you know, there were other people who contributed to all of this. He was standing on the shoulders of other people to some degree, but they're tuneful, all of the different instruments of the time being given solos. So all of the instrumentalists nowadays are happy because there's a concerto for them that they can play. And they're challenging pieces. They're very difficult pieces, even today. So, and you know, people like that.
And that's typical of Bach.
Yeah, I mean, Bach's attitude, I think, was, I don't care how hard it is, as long as it's possible, then I'll write it if I want. Whereas most other composers would think twice about writing something very difficult that perhaps most players wouldn't be able to hack. You know, so Bach, whether he's writing for a specific player or he's just deciding, I'll let the people, you know, the chips will fall where they may, I'm going to write the music I want. I think that was his attitude. And also with singers, you know, he'll just write something that sounds like it should be for keyboard or violin, yet the singers have to deal with this. And as long as it's possible, Bach is fine with it. You know?
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.